coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting alive from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb your tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because it's your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At-Home Show. I'm Josh Carey.
And I am David Bates.
The big voice guy on the intro is Michael Stevenson, better known as Moose.
That's right.
Pilot.
Thank you, Mike.
Piloting the show.
You're welcome.
And she is in charge of all things visual here at the At-Home program. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's kind of rainy out there, Mr.
A little bit rainy, and we'll go ahead and take a look at that. Ought to get on the right screen before we come to the beginning of the show.
Prep,
but, yeah, today it is Saturday, and it will be mostly cloudy. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high near 84 degrees. Winds will be out of the south about 10 miles an hour, with new rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except where you have thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And we all know that those can appear pretty much anywhere and with little or no notice.
When Bella the Wonder Dog starts shaking, you know it's imminent.
Yes. So that's the way that happens on tonight. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before midnight. And mostly cloudy, a low of about 66 degrees. And we should see some little bit of wind out of the south-southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour, not a huge amount.
Mm.
Going into Sunday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., but it'll be mostly sunny throughout the day with a high near 86 degrees and winds out of the west about 5 on Sunday night, partly cloudy, low for about 68. And as we go into the rest of the week, Monday, we've got a slight chance of showers. However, we're looking at a lot of sunshine and a lot of
nice temperatures.
Yes, we're looking at temperatures only in the 80s throughout the week. So, very promising forecast for it. So, if you've got anything going on, I mean, you don't normally associate August, which is, by the way, it's August the 1st today.
It is.
You don't normally associate August as the prime planting time. However, so many areas have really gotten excellent amount of rainfall, and we're still, you know, have these showers that are coming along. It's not a bad time to be thinking about that.
Nope, or trimming something, because you're coming to the end of that season.
We really are at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as the conventional wisdom was for many years, you really wanted to have that done by the end of July. Now, given how our weather has changed a bit over the years, it seems as though we're not having cold temperatures quite as early. And that's what the issue is when you're talking about trimming at this time of year. It's not that you can't trim it later. The issue comes when the new growth that follows that trimming, and that's what trimming does. It, you know, it helps trigger new growth because the plant starts making these new breaks for and making it thicker and perhaps adding some vitality to the and luster
vitalis.
Vitality. Yeah. You don't put vitalis on there. Anyway.
You could.
Yeah, get that new growth on there, and it helps them to fill out and be more attractive plant. The point is that new growth needs to have time to mature and harden off, as we say in the industry. And what that simply means is you don't want there to be a lot of active growth going into the latter part of the fall season, because that tender growth is really susceptible to freeze damage. And if you'll roll the calendar back mentally to what happened last year, you're seeing a lot of things around the landscape that are indicative of what kind of damage can occur when you have a late hard freeze right off the get-go. So in order to mitigate that as much as you can, this is the time when you should be doing your last trimming and your fertilizing in order to get that new growth out, get it matured, and therefore have your best look all winter long.
That's right. All right, folks, if you've got questions about trimming or anything else you want to talk about, what's going on around the world, we talk about landscaping and home improvement issues, but if you've got an issue that you want to just run by, if you've got marital issue.
Well, sometimes marital issues come out of
home improvement issues.
I have seen that happen where that maybe someone has trimmed a shrub that was not – there was no vote taken. It was just an action that was taken.
You have to control your shears. You have to control the clippers.
There's nothing wrong with trimming.
They need to be locked because certain things can get trimmed off, and you don't have blooms in February like you want to.
Well, information is a powerful thing, and knowing what to trim and as correctly what not to trim is important information. And the thing of that you want to be mindful of right now is the things that bloom early in the spring, don't trim those now.
Don't.
If you already have.
No. Neighborhood watch will come.
You may not lose all your flowers, but you will greatly reduce, particularly on flowering quince, forsythia, winter jasmine.
Witch hazel.
Yes. Yeah, those all bloom really early in the spring. The buds are already set on the foliage. So if you cut them back right now, you're cutting off all of that. Every bit of that you're cutting off will have blooms on it. So just think about that. All you're going to get is a little flowering inside, and that's not where the interior of the plant is not where most of the flowers come from. So be mindful of that.
All righty, folks. If you're out there watching on Facebook, which we hope you are, share the page, share the view, get everything out there. Make a little comment so we know you're out there watching so we can give you a shout out, like our friend in West Texas, who is a father once again. We welcomed, that's easy for me to say, yeah. Harrison Wells Huntstable to the clan this week, and congratulations, Kevin. Absolutely. Good looking kid.
We got a voicemail.
We have a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it from somebody important?
It's from Jim.
Jim, he's not chicken enough to. He can call in if he wants to. I don't know if we ought to play it. Do you think, David?
We should play, but he should call in.
Yeah, he should.
Let's talk about it. Maybe we'll talk about him enough where he will call in.
Okay. Well, we have another one now too. Just literally popped up.
All right. Well, you want to go with that?
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Go that way.
Hi, this is Brad Harkeye. I got a question about oak trees and. Something's killing all our neighbors' oak trees, and it's like one by one they're all dying. I was wondering if there's a way to stop it, or is there an actual disease with oak trees? Thanks for taking my question,
Brad. That's a very interesting question. Now, some years ago, there was great concern about a disease called sudden oak death. Now, I have no reason to believe that that's what you're talking about, but neither can I eliminate that either. So,
Brad, put a comment up on the Facebook page. Where do you live?
He lives south of town. South I actually know Brad. Okay. Brad, he lives out in the Spring Hill area.
Okay.
Well, maybe not quite that far south, but in that general area. So those, when they... if they get that sudden oak death, that can be very bad, and it's not just injurious to those trees, but it can spread to others, so it might be worth having an arborist come out there to really get hands-on look, or get the county extension agent.
That's probably going to be the easiest.
Now, the other thing that would be more common, and is I have seen many, many times over the years, is if there has been an elevation change in the grading. And sometimes grading contractors, if that has happened where they have added soil to the existing area and have piled it up around the trunks of the trees, which might seem like an innocuous amount where it just couldn't have any effect, it actually can kill a tree over time because it can rot the bark off all the way around. And once that happens,
It's done.
It can die. So that would be the first thing I would look for. Has the soil in the last few years been changed where they have built that up around there? If that's the case, that's a likely culprit. But those are the two things that come to mind, Brad, as far as what would be the possible culprit at play here is the either the bark rotting off due to adding soil in
string trimmer damage, possibly.
If they're big oak trees, it's not likely. They have very tough bark, so it's not likely on those.
What about mulch right up against the brown?
Well, now if you over mulch, then that does the same thing as what having
it holds moisture, so it
too much soil around it. So what it does is it keeps it wet at all times, and it causes that bark to rot off. And once you rot off a strip all the way around, it's dead. It's not coming back.
Okay. 615-499-6690.
Let me say a couple of birthday shout-outs quickly.
Quickly.
Our good friend Mike Terry.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Boog. How's it going?
And also to Matt Pilcher at Thrive Garden Center. Happy birthday, Matt.
Absolutely.
So,
one Jim Stevens is on the phone.
All right. Excellent. Jim.
How's it going, my friend?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. In the front yard?
Great to hear from you this morning.
Yeah. Good to hear talk to you guys as well. Yeah. I'm sitting in the backyard. Sent you some pictures. Looking at fall projects now. One of the things we want to do is move about five small trees farther back in the yard, and then take some bushes that are up against the vinyl siding, and they're staining the siding. So I want to get them out of there, but I don't want to throw them away. So I thought I'd move them to where the trees came out.
Now, what is it that's staining the vinyl siding?
Bushes.
They're like evergreen bushes, and they're up against the vinyl siding, and every year it leaves a green stain, and I have to power wash, and it's getting harder to take out, and it's actually, you know, damaging the vinyl side.
Well, it's such
a durable product.
Yeah, protect the vinyl at all costs. Now, what I would suggest, if you're thinking of transplanting these, it's a good thought to have. Even in Cleveland, it's a little ahead of the curve. We're still way in the summer. You ought to wait. I would suggest waiting
October,
at least
November. Yeah. Well, you have to wait until all the leaves are off.
Yes.
All the leaves are
if
off.
If you do that, then you're in really good shape, and then you can safely transplant them. Now, here's the thing I would mention to you before you transplant is, of course, you need to know where you're going to go with them. And is it a good location? Does it get enough sun? If it's a conifer, like you're talking about, an evergreen that has needles on it, is that what it is?
No, the five that I'm moving are leaf trees. They stand about 7 feet high.
Okay.
And they don't have a solid trunk. It's almost like
multi-trunked.
It's like a shrub almost. Okay. Like a tall shrub. Well, it's like a dogwood. It's a dogwood, I think.
The main thing of it is that you want to be able to know where you're going with them, and also dig the hole where you are moving them to first. That's really important because that way you can reduce the amount of time that you actually have them out of the ground. It greatly improves your odds of success in the transplanting process. So if you will dig that spot first where they're going to go to, then you can dig them out one at a time and relocate them. How many did you say there were in this spot?
There's a total of five
of them. Okay. And you may decide that you don't want to line them all up. You may want to put them in staggered rows. You may want to, you know, make changes like that. But be that as it may, you can make all those decisions and get those holes dug. And then you can also work on amending your soil if you're going to do that.
Second Amendment first.
Well, you know, never a bad idea.
The big question I had was, how big do I have to – how do I decide what is the right size hole as far as diameter and depth?
Generally speaking, when you talk about a multi-stem shrub, you want that root ball to go out to about two-thirds of the way out to where the outermost limbs are. So let's say that it is, what are they across, 30 inches, 36?
Oh, no. I'm desperately trying to get this to the right email address so we can post it up on the big screen. But they look to be a couple of caliper inches from what I'm seeing here.
Okay, right now. If it is equivalent to a 2-inch caliper tree, the general rule of thumb is if it's a new transplant, would be like a foot of dirt for every caliper inch.
Now, explain to the folks watching and listening.
The caliper inch is the diameter of the trunk measured 6 inches off the ground.
Not 5 3/4. Not 5 3/4. You got to be well, 6 inches.
Well, if it's above 1 foot, you, if it's a larger tree, you measure it a foot off the ground because it gets really wide at the base. So that's not the proper measurement once they get older. However, if it is a tree that's that size, you might need a 24-inch, as much as a 24-inch root ball. Now, I will say this to you. It's better to have a smaller root ball that has remained intact
yep.
than it is to have a larger one that breaks all to pieces.
David,
that
if you go to okay. – I've successfully transferred the image.
Well, three?
To go to image – to input three.
All right.
The most important input is three.
So. You know the key word you used there that really turned me was the word dig.
Oh, mute the TV.
Oh, okay, gotcha. We're hearing ourselves.
Yeah,
forgot about that. So anyway, I keep it up when we're doing it.
Yeah.
There's always some technical glitch. We got to get that out of the
That's
way.
That's our weekly glitch. So we're done with it now. So.
Like I said, the key word you were using there was dig. So that's where, if you remember correctly, the power auger comes in.
Jim, you could go around the perimeter, but I mean, I would start. We don't want to start in the middle. You want to start from one end or the other, and take them out as that.
They look really nice, and you do want to do the issue. I see that you're going to have to be very careful in digging between them because they're so closely spaced.
Yep.
One root ball is going to pretty much butt up directly against the neck, so you're going to have like a series of ovals on one side and the other that you're going to have to cut in between. And those are how tall? Are they above your head?
They're about seven and a half feet.
Well, as tall as Jim is, that's kind of a mean question to ask. But Jim, I would say just work from the ends and move into the end. And do you have to move them all right now? Can you just move a couple of them?
These on this end really don't affect you, right? The ones that are on the right, they're not up close to the house. But
the conifers up close to the house, those are the ones that I really want to get out because, like I said, they're messing up the siding.
Yeah.
Well, we can't have the siding getting messed up.
No, we can't. Alrighty. Now, Jim, they're also in this image. If the folks will look closely at their TV screens or their phones, by the way, you need to just flip it up on, put it onto the big screen in the middle of the living room.
Facebook Watch app, everybody.
They have a. You have an invention that you have there that's showing on your bird feeder that is a squirrel deterrent. Describe that for the Adam.
That is a $1 Slinky.
Okay.
So you've attached it at the base of where the platform is, and it just simply hangs down. Correct.
Correct. Yes. And
have they figured out how to defeat it yet?
No, they have not. And a couple have tried. Most of them just sit there and stare at it. They don't seem to have a clue. As soon as one of their little paws touches the base of the Slinky and it stretches, they run away.
Very effective. I have not seen that. Did this come in a flash of inspiration or
this was a YouTube moment?
Oh, okay. All right, well,
so you weren't the originator of the thought then.
Now, is that a plastic?
No, oh, no, not me. I'm not that smart. Trust me.
Now
you know that.
I wouldn't give you the benefit of a doubt.
Now, folks that are new to the At Home Show on the Facebook Live, Jim was a producer of the show many years ago when we were on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
Correct.
And he is our world-traveling, roving, at-home reporter.
At least
reporter.
He used to be.
Yes, he used to be. He doesn't
world travel that much anymore. I mean, I guess
he's been everywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
That's true.
Now, Jim, is that a plastic Slinky or an old school spring type metal Slinky?
You know, I think it's plastic. Yeah, okay. For a buck, I think it's plastic.
Okay.
I didn't even think about that. It just the color seems to be the thing that really stirs them up. I didn't think squirrels had color vision, but
I think it's a nice little touch, the little rainbow effect from red up to blue or purple, I guess, whatever it is on the top. So that's a very nice
visual.
It
messes with their little eyes so they can't see it and they think it's deeper than it actually is. Well, Jim,
and, you know, As I told you, yeah, you talked about the world traveling. Actually, I have more time to do it now than ever before.
So do you still get like the frequent flyer perk?
I am good to travel for the next 5 years at the level I had when I was still working.
Book a trip every week.
I would, but, you know, you're going to get turned away at the border, so.
No.
What's the point?
I just go down to the airport and get on the plane and you know, fly to Miami, turn around, come back. You know, fly to Midland, turn around, come back.
Fly to Nashville. Why not fly to Nashville?
There you go.
Someone asked me. Go ahead.
We've got the hot seat ready for you, Jim. So, you know, you just let us know when it works for your schedule. You're on.
I might do that, and it might be sooner than you think. So we'll see.
You need to let us know.
We have
you want a couple of days warning so you can call in sick.
Yeah. we've got to get the straitjacket cleaned, you know.
Oh, we got to go on the road. We didn't tell you we're on the road. We're, you know, out, you know, down in Murfreesboro or someplace.
Yeah, when we say on the road, we mean literally on the road.
Jimbo,
All right, guys. Thank you. Be careful.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. All right, folks. 615-499-6690. That is the number to dial to join the program. You can leave a voicemail, which is easy to do.
Absolutely.
If you want us to store, and you're a frequent caller, if you want us to store the number.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that. Yeah. And if you're an infrequent caller, you just want to leave a message. There was another message out there. Is that correct?
We listened to it. Jim left the first one.
So we didn't listen to that.
We didn't listen to him because we talked to him. But then
we talked to Brad.
I
remember now. And by the way, Brad sent a note. He's in Nolensville. I couldn't think of exactly where he was, but he is in Nolensville. So
great and glorious Nolensville.
And there's so much construction going on in the Nolensville. I mean, Nolensville, it's unrecognizable almost. So I don't know which of those two scenarios I put out there are more likely. I'm thinking, though, it's probably an elevation issue with either, as you said, overmulch, severely overmulch. Like, you know, there are some landscape people who believe, and I'm talking about people who would operate under the guise of being a landscape professional.
Well, they get paid, so they don't.
And I guess they get paid by the cubic yard of mulch because they pile it up, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 inches deep on top of it, and it surrounds the trunk. So that's very bad for trees. You do not want to do that.
That can
have a similar effect as does the soil.
I see some folks out outside the state. I see my cousin Bob and down in Dallas. I see my my friend Dean up in Rhode Island is watching. We still got Joyce. We've got Kevin.
Joyce is my mama.
Joyce is your mama?
Joyce, hey.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. She wants to know about cutting her clematis. Well, do we want to trim a clematis?
Well, she can, but is it already flowered? Has she given us any indication about
it? It's
well, I don't know. I'm going up there today, but I mean, that ain't going to help us right now.
And Sandy Cal, we see her. Sandy Cal Reed, we see you out there too. Folks, join us. It's easy. We're not mean.
Here, I'll get her on the phone.
Well, I mean, not normally. We're normally not mean.
You have to warn her and tell her that she will be live on the air. We have to, if you've got another way that you can go back into a couple of things there, David. I've got another one that kind of stumped me this week that I'd like to show to the folks. And this is out near Mr. Wu's garden. If we get to the input number 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was focused on something else.
That's okay.
Obviously not you.
No, that's true. But out near Mr. Wu's garden, I went out to cook some pork chops last night, and there we had a beautiful bloom of fungi.
That is very nice, as a matter of fact. I took a photograph of a log down near the creek a few weeks ago that had a wonderful line of fungi growing up and out of it all the way down. So, yes, that's what you get when you get these warm conditions and decaying matter lying on the ground. You get the opportunities for
it. So something's died in my yard because I get a bunch of mushrooms just on, like, one little spot.
Well, and that may be an old stump that's got ground out and it's decaying in the ground.
Must have been a big one.
Well, it could have been.
Did you get a fairy ring in your yard?
It's not in a ring. It's just kind of in a
clump of them.
Yeah.
Well, if perhaps Dr. Allen is watching, I bet he could identify that for us.
Talk about a guest to have in here. Dr. Alan Windham. We need to have him actually come in seriously.
Alan, yes, please.
You know,
please join
We'd like to have you come serious. In. You know, we're, and I know you've been holding serious out face. For a televised presentation. So, you know.
Here you go.
So, you know, we finally got around to it. So, come on and see us.
Chris Whipple just joined us from St. Louis, and it's wet over there as well.
I would say go Cards, but we don't have to get into that. I'm just over the baseball season already. They just need to cancel it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just like a joke?
Well, the Marlins all tested positive, so they canceled the games. A bunch of Cardinals tested positive yesterday, so they canceled those. I'm like, it just isn't going to work.
There's not going to be any, whoever would be the eventual winner, it's just.
It'll be a minor league team.
Who can most.
Hold on just a second.
Wait a minute.
Josh, is this what you want to have up there?
We're going to talk about this now because this is.
Well, hold on. I got a phone call.
Okay.
We can talk about that in a second.
Okay, we will. It's a beautiful face.
Now, I got my mom on the phone because she wanted to know about that clematis vine.
Okay, very good.
Go ahead, Mom.
Okay, well, they have fully bloomed, I have to tell you, and they're the light cart.
By the way, Joyce, how are you doing this morning? Good to hear from you.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I think we're doing well this morning. So it was a white flowering clematis that, how long ago did it bloom?
It's probably been 3-4 weeks.
Now, is it overgrowing other things? You have concerns about it just kind of taking over an area, or what's your motivation behind trimming?
No, it really can't overgrow. I just wondered if I cut it back, would it bloom more?
Not necessarily, depending on the type of clematis. Of course, you know, there's another type you might consider adding. Another plant called a sweet autumn clematis, which is has a smaller flower, but it's very fragrant, and it will begin blooming here, as you might expect, in the fall season. So that's one you might consider adding to your existing planting, and then you'll get additional flowering just by the nature of the time difference in between that they flower, and you'll get some really wonderful fragrance additionally. So the trimming of it won't necessarily get you another flower. You could, but it's pretty late for that. I would have done it a few weeks ago.
Okay. Kiddo?
Cool.
Okay. Well, do you sell those almonds?
Yes. And I have no idea. I don't. You know, I can't keep inventory in my head. That's what we can have a website for. So we'll
make Michael look
before. Well, I didn't know about the website.
Yeah, you go down to BatesNursery.com. We'll talk about it here in a minute, and then if you just stay on the line, I'll kind of give you some information regarding that.
And Michael's got his debit card with him, so
I'll go grab you one if you got it.
All righty.
Thank you, Joyce.
I love you, Mom.
Appreciate you calling in this one. While we're on that subject, why don't we just go do this quickly, Josh?
Okay, let's go do this.
We'll do that, and then we'll come back to what you're wanting to do here. Okay. And we'll talk about Bates Nursery and Garden Center for just a moment. And Joyce just called in wanting to know about, do we have this or do we have that? All you got to do is go to BatesNursery.com and you click on the little hourglass right there. And then you see the search box comes up. And you just click on that. You type in, let's just try, see.
Clematis.
You lost a screen there.
David.
I know. I got to come back to it. I always forget when I switch from one to another. I've got to reactivate it again. But
it's real easy to do.
It's real easy to do if you're not trying to do too many things at once. So we just type that in there, and we'll see if we actually have any. And currently, we do not. So there you are. There's no sweet autumn clematis. But anything else you're looking for, if you're looking for, like, trees and shrubs. By the way, speaking of trees, Anora has produced a wonderful video on about how to plant a tree in the summer with the help of Austin Lohan, who was our guest here a couple of weeks ago. Uh-huh. And it's a really great video, and that's up on the website as well on BatesNursery.com, so check that out. And I'm not going to go through all the time on that, but the one thing about BatesNursery.com, it's kind of a conduit to all of our information here. So no matter what you're looking for, if it's trees, shrubs, ground covers, or if it's just information, you know, all the In the Garden with Bates Nursery articles that I write every week all reside there. And you can check those out at the bottom of the page or just go down to the blog
sign up
listing.
For the newsletter. I mean, that's all.
So all that information is there. And if you decide you would like to subscribe, well, you can do so online just by scrolling down the page there, and that will get you the first word. Just put it in on the newsletter tab. Now, what they get you is the first word on everything that's going on at Bates Nursery with regard to specials we've got happening and seasonal gardening tips, such as the trimming thing we put out this week, the footnote on that. You can subscribe to the newsletter right there by going to batesnursery.com. And we've been fortunate to get to be in business in Nashville for this is our 88th year of business. My grandmother started the business back in 1932. So we're appreciative of the opportunity to be here these many years and that we haven't screwed it up.
Dumb question. They call this road out here Guy E. Bates Senior Road. Is he related to you?
No.
Okay.
Perhaps distantly. That's the memorial. That's not the official name of it. It's the memorial name of it. But it's White's Creek Pike, and that's the memorial name.
Well, yeah.
Guy Bates was a councilman in what was then the first district years ago.
Gotcha. So, okay. I didn't know. I just saw the sign.
I know them all, and our families all came from Hickman County, so we likely are somewhere down the line.
Gotcha.
But,
okay.
Not directly. So anyway, we're conveniently located 1 mile north of Briley Parkway on White's Creek Pike, just minutes from Rivergate Opera Mills, Nashville West. I think that's about enough time we spent on that. Yeah. So I want to thank you for your attention, and we'll move on through that now. So, Josh, we're going back to your picture now.
615-499-6690.
You ready?
Yes, I am. All right. Now,
that's Moose, my wife.
Moose decides to send this picture out now. Now, folks, look at the beautiful face. That's your lovely bride.
Mm-hmm, that's okay. Catherine.
Now, we're obviously supervising
aquatic
activity. And
he tries to drink the bath water all the time.
That water doesn't have food coloring in it, does it? It's the bluest water I've ever seen.
Well, it's a bath mat because he likes to run.
He's
and
a slipper.
He's, okay. Yeah.
I got you.
Now, have you reminded him that the other end of his body is immersed in the water as well?
We get on. You don't understand. We get onto him all the time. He'll get. You can kind of see it. It's blurred out, but there's a big cup in there, and he just grabs it, and then he's like. And drink. And I was like, no, I'm good. And then he goes, okay. And then just all over his face. And he like dumps water in his face. And
that's a good way to rinse
the
hair.
He's a boy. What do you say?
But I took that picture. And the moment she turned his head, and I guess he didn't think I was paying attention, couldn't see him. What you couldn't see right before that, obviously, is he smiled real big and just slammed his face down in the water and started chugging.
Well,
that's how you get toughened up. That's how you you get enough of the what life deals out to you to be able to survive little bumps and bruises.
Well, we asked him.
This is the at-home show in essence here. We talk about things that are life-living.
Yes,
I mean, this is great, and young children. But remind him that other side, that other area down there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean, just, you know.
Where everything comes out.
Yes.
As opposed to, it's the exit point as opposed to the entry point.
Correct. Yes. We don't want to. No.
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 No. We tell him that. When I said, Sam, what are you doing? He sat up
real
quick.
They shut down water departments because of contamination that comes.
I know. What am I supposed to do? Well, he sat up and I said, are you drinking the bath water? And he said, nope.
Nope. Don't care.
All right.
615-499-6690. Treasure those moments, young man.
Yes. Big hello to Steve Smith this morning. Good morning, Steve. Great to see you out there this morning. And we're talking about whatever we want to talk about, per usual. And if you'd like to call in and interact, we'd love to have you be a part of the program.
Young Freeman Arthur's out there. Good morning,
615-499-6690. We'll mind you of that. You can give us a call here and ask away whatever question happens to be on your mind. You know, it could be about, Josh spends his days in the building trades.
See.
And
supply what are trade.
It's a supply trade, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and that is an interesting concept during the time we're currently in, Josh, is that supply and the uninterrupted stream of materials for any kind of commodity item is tenuous. I mean, it's not. I think a great many of us who operate businesses that you try to be just-in-time delivery as much as possible. That is becoming an ever-increasingly dangerous,
problematic way of doing business. But
in your world, in the lumber industry, there have been shortages,
and that normally, depending upon storms and cycles and trucking and whether watermelons are being hauled back from Florida as opposed to engineered wood or manufacturing processes that go along. Things are starting to, they're really starting to go out a little bit longer now.
When you say go out longer, what do you mean? It's just taking longer
times. Now, again, I deal primarily with millwork items, which are, trimming doors and windows and some other things. I'll take an order for anything, folks. Trust me. It's all you have to do is ask, and we're glad to do it. But my area of expertise is rumored to be in windows and doors.
You got somebody on the line, or you just...
No, Mary Clark is on the line.
Oh, well, let's go to Mary then. What do you say, Josh?
We'll come back to this. Uh-huh.
Hey, Mary, you're on.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Mary Welcome. Clark. How good, can we good. Help you at home this morning?
Well, I have a hydrangea. You have to help me with this because I'm a new gardener. Okay. But I have a two hydrangea paniculata tree form.
Right. Kind of like what you see behind me here. Are you looking at the?
It's why I'm excited to call you. It's exactly what I have.
Yes.
And I think I've not been trimming these as well as I should have to keep them at the tree form.
Okay, let me ask you this: how long have they been in the ground, Mary?
They have actually been in the ground 1 year and about 3 months.
Okay. Now, as you're now learning that they are not a maintenance-free thing, and their tree form is not the natural form that they grow in. How these are grown to get them to looking like this is that they take a single stem and they will stake it, and they will tie it up to it and allow one shoot to go straight up until they get it to the height, pretty much about like 3 feet tall, and then they'll trim it and start to let the branches come out from there. Now, if unless you remove the sucker growth, and that's the shoots that come out from below where the upper branches are, it'll start going back to being a bush form. And you may have seen some signs of that already. It's not unusual. So you have to kind of keep working at it in order to keep it that way. Now, is yours in flower currently, or is it already bloomed for this summer?
I mean, it is blooming. And I've not done anything that you've said because
that's fine.
Research like this, I should.
Well, you just need to
look. Blooms.
All I'm saying is you need to be aware that that it can start to put shoots out at the bottom, and it's okay to remove those whenever because you don't want those coming out. You want the tree form look.
Okay, so mine now because of the rain are just laying over, touching the ground.
Yeah.
Yes. So what do you suggest I do currently with it?
Just leave it alone. Let it dry out. I love the flowers even once they've gone persistent after they start turning green, and then they'll kind of turn almost a tan color when they dry further. When you have a lot of heavy rains in there in full flower like yours are right now, it tends to beat them up a little bit.
Same thing with crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And all it takes is a little sunny weather to get those dried out. And over a few days, normally, unless they've gotten just really beaten down hard, they'll usually stand back up. So really, it's not a lot to do to it. Actually, you can do more damage by trying to prop them up while they're full of water because, they're kind of a brittle wood. Then they have a hollow stem on them, so if you try to start lifting them up, they can snap off. They're fairly flexible to a point, so really, the best thing to do is just be patient, let it dry out, and give it some time. Now,
do a heavy pruning right now. You wouldn't.
No,
really
I'd wait.
Prune.
I mean, the limbs are not actually broken, are they?
No, they're not.
No,
but they're just hanging over.
Yeah, well, just give it a few days. And now, if you wanted to so that you could further enjoy the flowers on it, you could take like some tie tape, which is it's a stretchy kind of a non-adhesive, but you could tie it around the stems and pull those back up if you want to enjoy the form of it.
Flagging tape.
Just
be careful.
Yeah, something like that. That is you can disguise and not, or maybe twine will work fine.
Right.
Now after you get beyond the point and say, hey, I think I'm over this, you can go ahead and trim them.
Okay.
Now, here's the cautionary statement. It's less of a problem for the tree form types because the branches are not right down on the ground. They do tend to dry out better, but hydrangeas are hollow-stemmed. If we have a lot of really cold, a lot of really wet weather, I should say, during the wintertime, those can get loaded up and start to rot out. So I have seen them rot before just due to excessive wet winter that's not all that cold. So it's one of the things that can happen. But if you decide to trim them right now, you could theoretically have flowers on them again. It's going to be a push, but you could possibly have some flowers on again before they die back for winter. So there's your answer. The answer is that there's no exact answer. If you want to go ahead and trim them now, it won't hurt a thing. And it gives you a great opportunity to bring some cut flowers into the house and make some nice arrangements for it. So there's that.
Well, I have three tables of these now have arranged because there's so many of them.
You can share with friends.
Yes. When am I supposed to really trim these, though?
3:30.
Type of hydrangea.
Yeah, 3:30. 3:30 is the time. Yeah.
I thought it was 3:35.
No,
3:30.
Okay.
Now,
as far as time of year goes, generally speaking.
Time of year is what I mean. Okay.
we just assumed you meant time of
year. We haven't been able to do that since we went off the radio.
I was thinking you were telling me March the 30th.
Yeah. No.
As with most any plant, the best time to trim is actually when is at the end of the flowering cycle. So, you know, these are, if you have deemed that you're close enough to that, it's a good time to trim. So,
And
they do, as you already know, they make a wonderful cut flower and they really bring a lot of that beauty into the house.
Thank you for the call, man.
Thank you, Mary.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You have a great day. Happy August to you.
All righty, 615-499-6690. Risha, thank you for starting that watch party for us. We appreciate it. Folks, share the thing. We got to get the at-home show.
Hey, we are growing.
We are.
We are most certainly growing.
Hey, let's talk for just a moment about Earth Mix Garden Products. Talk about growing. If you want to grow your things the very best, don't just settle for any old soil, any old amendment, using the term loosely. Mm-hmm. Earth Mix Garden Products takes a very different approach in that it's use 100% organic ingredients. There is a very high attention given to the productivity and the viability of the soil. And Josh, you and I were looking at some compost.
The manufacturing process is amazing.
And we
watch.
Really take a lot of pains to make sure we have a very clean soil. All of the steps we take to warehouse the inputs properly is part of what the Earth Mix difference is, plus the amount of very beneficial organic things such as endo and ecto mycorrhizal fungi and humic acid. Those are the things that really make Earth Mix different than most any others. So the good thing about Earth Mix is it's available all over Middle Tennessee, also in Kentucky. And if you go to the earthmix.com website, you can click on the Find Earth Mix tab over there on the top right.
Sure can.
And you see the map come up there, and it will be all of the locations all over the growing numbers over the eastern U.S., Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio to this point. Coming soon to a location near you. Remember, this success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earth Mix Garden Products. So we appreciate your attention on that one.
Absolutely. Now, folks, 615-499-6690. You can join us. If you had people interact, you notice that we're not mean. We may.
If you leave your phone number, I'll call you back.
Yeah, if you want to call, if you want us to.
And then we can actually store your number that we know who you are next time.
Because we'll know who you are.
You know, the way that the telephonics work in our current setup is a little bit different. So we have a number it's actually a Google number.
It's a Google number.
Google.
So until we have contacted you the first time, you can only leave a message, but then once we get that, you can leave your name, we can add you in. So
identify you as that, who you are. I want to thank and give a big shout out to Drew Sullivan from Dickens Turf and
Absolutely.
Landscape Supply for sitting on the hot seat last week and
always appreciate Drew coming in and imparting his extensive knowledge of all things
stuff.
stuff. He is He knows stuff. He's well versed on the use of chemicals and what they work well on. And I cannot recall the name of the new Nutsedge product that he talked about last week, but I know there's a new one.
There's a new Nutsedge product.
But and it's a granular. I got that much more of it back. So anyway.
So you got to go to your local Dickens and pick it up.
And if you really want to know, just go back to last week's episode.
Yeah.
It's right there, you know.
So, I tried to Google the Bermescue. I mean, I Googled it correctly with the whatever he called it, but Bermescue is the much better name.
Yes.
It's I can't find
Fesmuta.
Fesmuta, yeah.
Fesmuta.
And I can't find it anywhere.
So you got to go to Dickens to get it if you want some Fesmuta.
Yeah, I don't know that the seed is actually sold. I don't. Well, you know, you have incompatible seed in that if it's a mixture between Bermuda grass, which is a warm season grass, mm-hmm. and Fescue, which is a cool season grass, you would already have had to put. Or you really should be doing it immediately on the Bermuda grass, because what will happen with it is it'll germinate now, but it will not have sufficient time to develop the rhizomous root system, which is what keeps it from freezing out over the winter.
Then you'll be putting down ryegrass.
Well, and of course, ryegrass is temporary because it'll die when it gets hot. So you want to put the Bermuda grass, down in the earlier part of the summer, preferably. And Fescue, you don't want to put down until from fall through early spring.
And we helped Jack Gill out, and he said so on with the message.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your question from last week that Drew covered. Did a great job of covering.
Drew was smart.
I feel like
was smart.
So. I got a question for you guys. I feel like my tomato plants are growing a bit slow. And this is what I mean. I got a lot of fruit on them, right?
What?
But they just seem like it's taking forever for them to ripen up and turn red. And no, they're not just green tomatoes.
Call patience, buddy.
How many hours of sunlight do you get a day?
I don't know, 8-9 hours.
Okay, that's just enough.
Okay.
I mean, that probably is, that does slow the development of the ripening process.
Okay.
So, you know, ideally, if you could have them in a spot where they got at least 10 or even a bit more than that. This time of year, you know, with the long days, if you're out in full sun all day, you know, you're going to be able to get 11 or 12 hours of sun.
Certainly.
We need to go clear cut some trees.
Okay.
Or find a different location.
A lot of folks are having problems with, it's not necessarily end rot. It looks kind of sort of like end rot, but we're seeing a lot of brown spots. I've seen a lot of posts.
That had those.
Chaz Phelps. Spots. Good morning, Chaz. Great to see you this morning out there tuning us in.
All righty, folks. We're here for you. You can talk. You can send a message on Facebook. You know,
And don't forget. And we, as Josh mentioned earlier, we appreciate you sharing it. We're trying to, you know, build our little program back up here. You know, this is the third restart for us.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we got
the best restart.
Well, it's the second restart. We started first.
Well, that's right. You can only restart after you've started before.
So. Right.
But even that was sort of a restart. See, Josh and I first started doing radio together as fill-ins for other guys on another program called Weekend Lifestyles, and we were the...
With Norm Daniels.
With Norm Daniels. And Norm, if you're out there this morning...
I remember that show.
He needs to come in on the hot spot.
Absolutely.
On the hot seat.
It would be a real honor to have him on. So I ran into him at a restaurant couple of 3 years ago.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
I would love to get to talk to Norm. But anyway, Josh and I were the building, for in Josh's case, in the lawn and garden, experts. And we both filled in for a stint for the guys who were the previous ones. And after we filled in, they said, well, could you just kind of keep coming back?
A couple times, yeah.
So we just kept coming back. And then after about a year and a half, that program got canceled because of a program director.
As happens to do in radio a lot.
That happens in radio a lot because, you know, every PD wants to put their thumbprint on the...
change of direction is what they call that.
So, after a year and a half, Chris Kulik ran into Josh and I out at Rio Bravo out on West End before the Titans.
It's a bank now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bank. I think it's a Regions bank now, but we ran into him out there, and he said, hey, why don't y'all come back on and do the show that y'all
used
to do.
That was September of 1997.
correct. And then in February of 98, we actually began doing the at-home show together again. We did for 18 and a half years on WTN. And then that time ran out. We thought we were done.
Yep.
And then a few months passed, and then WSM contacted us, and we did something that they had never done before. It was just a full-out talk show, a call-in, and we did that for 3 years. And lo and behold, COVID-19 changed that one.
Yep.
And so we started broadcasting live here back in March. So we're glad to get to be here this morning and get to, you know, share some information. Have you got a
it's flown
story?
By.
Have you got a, it really has. And how many weeks is this that we have been doing it now?
15 or 16.
COVID. Yeah, COVID weeks.
March 14th last time that we were on the air in the studio at WSM.
That's right, because it was March 21st was our first broadcast here. So.
Okay.
Because we had on that bluegrass band, and then.
That was it. Yeah. That was there. That was
there. Might have got us. That's okay. But speaking of WSM and the mighty, mighty Air Castle of the South, a friend of ours retired this week, Mr. Eddie Stubbs. And congratulations, Eddie.
He was so nice to us when we first came on WSM. He says, you know,
there was no dead air. There was no dead air.
And I knew he meant that as a compliment, which he did. He said, hey, you know, you guys did not let it just sit out there and, you know, with that pregnant pause, unless it was intentional. We've been fortunate, Josh, throughout the years of our broadcasting careers that we did never intended to have.
We've brushed with greatness.
We have indeed on many occasions.
Eddie's an Opry icon.
Well, and one of the greatest honors that I've ever had in the broadcasting career, as it were, is that our show was mentioned on the stage by Mr. Eddie Stubbs at the Grand Ole Opry on a Saturday night, and it was pretty special.
Yeah.
And so to be able to hear that and hear your name in that venue. But congratulations, Eddie. Enjoy your retirement. If you want to come by and see us, we might let him sit in.
If you just let us know when you're available, we'll make it happen.
Because we're working for guests. And if you folks want to see somebody, David knows everybody in the planet. So, I mean, we might be able to hook something up. But if there's a product
I actually had my buddy John Cowan in here. Now, you may know John Cowan as the voice of Newgrass.
Like 26,000 views on his live stream the other night.
Yeah, that was just in the first
hour.
They're averaging like 55,000 to 60,000 on their that they're putting out there. So anyway, I've got some plans for somewhere out in the future where we have time to we've got a whole another end of this studio facility here. We can,
it's palatial inside.
Yeah,
the
so we can. And John did the clap test. So he says it was dead enough. It was.
So if John Cowan backs up what I say, I feel pretty good about my abilities.
I would say that you can take it to the bank. So anyway, we hope to have some friends in from time to time. And while we're mentioning John Cowan, you ought to go over to his John Cowan music. Tremendous group of extraordinarily talented individuals. Okay, so
quickly before we run out of time in this edition, we need to cover what's going on in the set here in front of us.
Well,
obviously
we got a lot of flower. A lot going on, and of course, and grasses, which are one of the things that are, and these are switch grasses. The Panicum are really like. And good morning, Pamela Fur. Great to see you this morning.
Yep.
The switch grasses are wonderful, and ornamental grasses in general really do a lot to add an interesting texture and color to any landscape setting. They're just starting to get the seed heads on them. You can probably barely make those little wispy little seed heads out. Really good looking accent plant.
Are those one of those pampas grasses?
No, pampas grass is a different family of grasses.
Oh.
So
this one doesn't have an attitude?
It's not the stuck-up grass.
It's not stuck-up, no.
Okay.
Now, we've got a lot of other summer flowering things out front. I see knockout roses. I see some dwarf crepe myrtle down front. I'm having to look over. We've got some Althea or hibiscus psoriacus, the hardy hibiscus here.
Does that make you itch when you touch it?
No, it's not an itchy kind of thing.
Okay.
No. It's not... Yeah, and then other things with some nice looking foliage I can't really see. Now there was one you were wanting to talk about down in the front.
They call it Fire Chief. I mean, it's right. Absolutely gorgeous.
And that's a type of arborvitae, and you may think, well, you know, you mean like those green things that people plant in hedges? Well, it's the same family. This, I believe, is actually a sport of the plant known as Rheingold arborvitae.
I put it in the wrong spot. I don't think Honora can get to it, so we'll ask Michael to step around there and pick it up.
What's going on? What are we doing?
She could kick her leg out there.
What do you need me to do?
That way she could stay off.
There's Honora's arm on the camera now.
So. Oh, there we go. All right.
There we go.
Thank you, Honora.
We got to wait for the 45-second delay to see how well that was.
Okay, so yeah.
You know...
But we're having some fun here at her expense, and that's part and parcel of being part of the At-Home show.
That's kind of what we do.
We don't play favorites. We pick on everybody, so that's okay. But this it seems like it would get, just looking at it, because as you walk through the nursery on a Saturday morning, it's every week something catches my eye because there's new cycle through and everything. But this one in particular, it's frondy, and it has a red kind of a foliage color to it,
and it's really, and it's really even more colorful in the winter.
I would imagine that it would probably pop that color.
And it's fairly typical on many conifers that they have a winter cast to the color that gives them a lot more interest, and you need that, frankly, there, because there's, you know, things tend to get drab in the wintertime when the deciduous
decide.
When the deciduous decide to drop,
be deciduous. Yeah,
they are very decisive.
But it's an absolute evergreen too, and I mean, but it's an ever red. I would think, or a reddish kind of a
cast. And it tends to stay medium to more low growing.
I didn't look at the tag, but I'm gonna guess it probably would spread to 3, maybe 3.5, 4 feet
easily, and tall.
Oh yes. Wow!
Now you can keep it throttled back somewhat if you trim, and when you do trim it, it will look very different because it's that outer growth that has that reddish cast to it. When you trim it back, it'll kind of look just lime greenish almost again, and then it'll flush right back out. Again, trimming is very important to get that done immediately if you're thinking about doing that. Don't delay on that.
Let it harden off. Now, behind you, you've got the hydrangeas, and again, these are and you said they've been stick-formed into a tree.
Tree-formed is what we call it, yes. Okay. But, and they're, you will normally see those just in a container where that there's no stem on them. So there is some special training that is required on these. And it's, as we talked with Mary earlier, mm-hmm. There are some things you need to look for as far as maintenance type things. I will say this, Mary, and I neglected to mention this earlier, is that what I suggest that you do as far as the best time to trim these, since they flower on the current year's wood, mm-hmm. is to do your severe pruning in the spring just as the new growth is starting to emerge. You can cut them back severely then. And what that does is that creates a much tighter head on the top of the plant, which gives you a much more dense flowering, and it keeps it from flopping so bad.
So, Mary, technically, 3:30, the date was probably accurate.
Yeah, 3:30, yes.
Yeah, 3:30.
March 30th, that would be a good time to do it.
All righty, folks. We're coming down to the end, but you want to talk about Earth Mix or Bates one more time before we get out
of here? One thing I will say, you know, if you're a Bates Rewards member, yep. you obviously get the email every week. At 3:50 is when mm-hmm. I send mm-hmm. that out. And here's a little tidbit on the newsletter. It's always exactly 350 words.
Count them.
So
check it.
So,
it also showed me that you are the master of the pun.
Well, I try to be punny whenever I can.
I like it.
So this week, 20% off everything. The only exclusions are gift cards and delivery. So if you're a Bates Rewards member, come on in, check it out. We've got a great selection of everything for you here. We literally, as Josh alluded to, we unload trucks every week.
It's a great pleasure to come out here and just walk around and see
if you just need to get ideas for fall. But it's a great opportunity to save, and really for most of us, ground conditions could mm-hmm. not be better. We've got excellent moisture, and we have a staff here that can help guide you through the process. Make sure you take photographs with your smartphone or tablet. Bring those along.
Don't do it with your dumb phone.
It really helps us a lot to be able to visualize what your project is, and hopefully help you to get the right plants in the right place.
Speaking
the first
of puns,
time.
Stephen Pippen is
the pun master.
He's a puns master. Corey, the yard boy, we see you out there. Go, hey, by the way, go vote for the Yard Boy if you can in Petersburg. We're doing it, Bill Hayes. Everybody that's joined us from all across the country today, we very much appreciate it. Look for the video up on YouTube if you haven't been able to stay tuned the whole time. Up on I'll try to share it to Parler next week just to be sure and see what's going on.
Right.
But for Michael Stevenson and Honora and David Bates, my name is Josh Carey. We invite you back next Saturday morning around 8 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah,
we'll be here. But we'll see you then, and it'll be the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.